not insane. The conflict that you're going through is insane. The conflict is insane, not the lesson that you're going to learn to let go of the conflict. The lesson we're going to learn to let go of the conflict is not insane. The conflict is insane. And what's the conflict? I'm trying to believe two ways of thinking and demonstrate them both at the same time. Don't forget, because the ego gonna say the conflict is what you're mad at your mate about. That's the smoke screen. The conflict is because there are two ways of thinking and you haven't made a decision. You're not standing up for one way of thinking. Peace or love, truth or illusion, the world or spirit. You know, the spiritual laws and the worldly laws. They're different. They're opposite. So the conflict is coming. Then people say, well, you're in the world. You have to become aware of the worldly laws. Well, that's what you spent the first part of your life doing. You learned everything about the world so that you could unlearn it. But you have to know how it operates while you're unlearning it. So we got totally schooled in the world. And now we have to let go of letting what the world taught us direct us, even while we are aware of it. Even if we are aware, yeah, you do feel like your ego, the Course says the ego responds to the destruction of your thought system as if it's the fear of death. So we identify with our way of thinking so much that we think to lose our way of thinking is to lose ourselves. That's why people defend their way of thinking so much, because they believe it's them. So to change their thinking, it's like they're changing them, and they are. You really are. So like when I did that workshop, you know, it was incredible. And I felt a huge part of my power return. It was amazing. Because it was at a certain point, you're like going through this frenzy of consciousness through all sorts of breathing techniques and stuff, and you just gone. And, you know, stimulating your third eye and all kinds of stuff. You know, jazz blindfolded, and all of a sudden when you least expect it, he knows exactly how to do it. Pops you on your third eye. And then just, he explained the chemical that gets released in your brain. It's some kind of special other thing, but it stimulates all of your psychic and spiritual faculties that usually only open up when you die. That's why people see the white light. They really don't realize at the point of death there are chemicals that are being released to help you make that transition that opens your consciousness up. So he just knew how to do that without you having to die. You know, so, but I don't want to go into that now, but I'm just saying that when you're ready, then the teacher appears.
So when's his next
one? You know. I don't know. But I'll let you know. So the point I'm making is every time you make a shift in consciousness, like I made a shift in consciousness, then your physical reality correspondingly responds. That's how you know. If your physical reality isn't changing, you aren't either, no matter what you're telling yourself. Because the ego gets so spiritually enlightened that it knows how to use the truth and use your own intelligence to give you very logical, reasonable reasons why you're in the screwed up position that you're in and why it makes total sense. And it can make you think you're doing great things and it's not changing, or tell you who or what to blame as to why it's not happening. Ego is smart. That's just the you made up. So who knows your weaknesses better than you? Check that out, okay? So realize there can be no conflict between sanity and insanity. You know why? Because only one of them is true. It's not a conflict between sanity, because sanity is real, insanity isn't. There's a part of you called the ego, the part that doesn't really know what's going on, that's afraid, that's angry. It's trying to persuade you that it's up to you to decide which voice is true. There's a part of you that's trying to persuade you that it's up to you to decide what the truth is. There's a part of you that's trying to convince you that it's up to you to decide what the truth is. He says your higher self just teaches you that the truth was created by your creator, and your decision can't change the truth. There's not a decision you can make that can change the truth. There's one voice that tries to teach me it's up to me to decide what the truth is. There's another voice that teaches me the truth was created by my creator, and that's not a damn thing I can do about it. The truth is the truth. There's a part of me that's trying to teach me it's up to me to decide what the truth is, and then somehow or another I can change it by deciding what it is and what it isn't. And then there's another part of me that's aware that what created me is what created the truth, and I can't do anything to change it. So I have to keep going back and forth, because it's talking about the two ways of thinking. He says, as you begin to realize the quiet power of your higher self's voice, as you begin to realize that your higher self's voice has power, as you begin to realize that the voice for you, for the truth and for God and for spirit, he said, has power. Whew, I felt that through me. He says, what does that mean? How can you tell when something has power? Well, go to the next part of the sentence. He says, it's perfect consistency. So power is consistency. So as I begin to realize how consistent the voice for God, the voice for love, the voice for truth is, he says, then I'm realizing the quiet power. He says, it must dawn on my mind that I'm trying to undo a decision that was irrevocably made for me. I'm trying to, the universe has decided that I deserve nothing but love, nothing but peace, nothing but happiness, and I am trying to do everything in my power to change that. He says, when you wake up, you realize, wait a minute, I don't need no free will. For what? Free will is nothing but the God of the ego. Free will. Think about it. If that which created you in its will is only perfect and complete happiness for you, that's all what created you wants. What do you want free will for other than to create something that's opposite to that for yourself? So free will is just the God of a fearful mind. It's actually what keeps us from being happy, because we're so busy doing the opposite of what the universe wills for us. Just think about it. Don't try to do nothing about it. So we have the illusion of free will, which means that regardless of what you do, you are going to end up in peace, in joy, in love, in safety. I don't care how good you try to screw it up. I don't care how many lifetimes you try to screw it up. I don't care what the book is saying. I don't care what y'all do. You're going to end up in love. Now you can either drag it out through your story, or you can have it today by making a decision about which thought system you are going to demonstrate. See? Well, then he says, now that's why I suggested before that you remind yourself to allow the Holy Spirit, which is your higher self, to decide for the truth or for God for you. So here's what he said. I need to remind you that you need to allow the part of you that loves you to decide for your happiness for you. You need to allow the part of you that loves you to decide for your happiness for you. You need to allow the part of you that has infinite intelligence to decide for God, for love, for you. Allow the part of you that does love you to decide for the truth for you.
What do you recommend as a way to get in touch with that when you're in the middle of the struggle?
Realize that you're going through the struggle because you're indecisive in that moment about what you want. That's why you're in that struggle. That to remind you to say, I wanna allow my higher self to decide for love for me. And as quick as I can, if I'm especially having a clash that there's just a lot of talking and back and forth and ain't nothing happening, to be quiet. Go within. And then talk to that person mind to mind. Like they just said, man to man. You talk to that person mind to mind. You bypass their ego altogether.
Oh, wow. So the very idea of sitting there and telling them is total ego.
It's total ego, especially if the person is in a state of distrust about you and what you're saying, because there's some fear and conflict going on.
Like, oh man, that's cool.
Yeah, I have solved more relationship problems through not talking to the person than I ever did when I was trying to talk ego to ego. Now, we can communicate if we both made a decision that we don't want to be in conflict, so we're going to see where we can join, and then we're going to keep that agreement. Okay? But if I'm talking to a person, they're not in that state of mind, then all you're doing is fueling the separation and making it greater. So in that situation, it's best.